Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, March 9th edition of the MBOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. I hope you guys had a great weekend. Mine was pretty good. Of course, we had UFC 248, and it was a pretty interesting card. I would say that it had some of the highs and lows of MMA, like some of the best we'll see in the sport and some of the worst we'll see. So let's get right into it. I don't want to waste any time here. All right, I'm going to start at the top and work my way down the card as always. So I'll start with the main event of the evening. But, man, this fight doesn't really deserve to be talked about. Not as much as the co-main event, which I'll get to in a minute. But the main event, Israel Adesanya defends the UFC middleweight title with a unanimous decision win, 48-47, 48-47, 49-46. It was a terrible fight, one of the worst fights I've seen in a long time, one of the worst title fights in UFC history. It was a terrible fight. It was awful. And it had nothing to do with the fact that the fight before was amazing. And I'll get to the fight in a second with Joanna and Whaley. But this fight was just bad in general. It was just a terrible fight. It didn't matter what it was before. It was just a letdown of a fight, an awful fight between two guys that showed no aggressiveness. They didn't care. They didn't want to win the belt. It didn't seem like Izzy cared about defending. It didn't seem like Yoel wanted to win it. It was just a bad fight. Bad style matchup, unfortunately. On paper, it looked like a good fight. You had Israel Adesanya. The guy's undefeated. He's an amazing striker, an incredible athlete, a superstar in the making. And then, on the other hand, you have Yoel Romero, an incredible athlete. Older guy for sure, but still a dangerous guy. Everyone was scared about him. But, man, he blew it. He blew it. He gets an opportunity like this. Coming off two straight losses in the UFC, gives him another title fight. Even despite the fact he's missed weight in multiple other title fights, he still gets a title shot and absolutely blows it. Putting on a terrible performance. Just an awful fight. Both guys should be embarrassed by this fight. It was terrible. No fan deserved to pay money to watch that fight. It was bad. You know, there's some booing in the crowd. I think it's well deserved. You know, both guys just didn't care. And if you're paying a few hundred bucks to sit in the crowd and watch, you're going to be disappointed by something like this. So as far as how I scored it, I did score for Israel Adesanya. I gave the first two rounds to Romero, the last three to Adesanya. But I didn't even care. Honestly, I didn't care at the end of the five rounds. I'm like, I don't even care who wins this fight because it was just so bad. And neither guy really deserved to earn the belt. Adesanya, I gave him the win because I think he did a little bit more with volume with the leg kicks in the last three rounds. And that's it. That's a pretty awful way to win a fight when you're barely edging it out. Romero won the first two rounds because he landed a few big shots. But I'm talking about a few big shots. I'm talking about like one shot a round. Like, the amount of strikes thrown was pathetic in this fight. It just didn't make sense. Like, I'm listening to Big John McCarthy's podcast today, and he had a bang on. He said Romero just didn't have the passion to win the belt, and he's 100% right. Romero did not care enough. And for a guy that's turning 43 next month, who's probably not getting another title shot anytime soon, it was shocking to see the lack of urgency in this fight. For Adesanya, this was his worst performance in the UFC by far. And you know what? A few of his fights early on in his career in the UFC weren't that great. Like the Vettori fight was not a good performance either. Even the Wilkinson fight, he ended up getting the knockout in that fight. It wasn't the greatest performance. But this fight was by far his worst fight. And the worst part of this fight is I think both guys' stocks really go down after this fight. Heading into this fight, everyone's talking about Adesanya as a superstar, the next John Jones. I don't think anyone's saying that after this. You know, John Jones has had a few bad fights in his career. But I don't think he said anything like this. You know, this reminded me of more like Anderson Silva when he fought, like Attalas Latis or Damian Maia. Those really awful fights he had earlier in his run as a middleweight champ. And he had some bad fights. That kind of reminded me of this. Just, you know, fights take two to tango. And in this case, you had Romero just staying back on the outside trying to counter. And Adesanya staying back on the outside looking to just pick apart Romero from distance. He did that a little bit more effectively. And that's why I do think he deserved to win the decision. But And, you know, I say that word deserved very lightly because, honestly, neither guy deserved to win this fight. If you guys want, throw your scorecards in the chat. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this one. I don't want to spend too much time on this fight because, quite frankly, it doesn't deserve much time being spent on it. It was just a really bad fight. You know, this is why, as much as we all like the fight on paper, this is why a guy coming off two straight losses probably shouldn't get a title shot because they just don't deserve it. And, you know, in this case, you had a guy in Romero coming off two straight losses and loses again now, three straight losses, 43 years old next month. This guy is, you know, I respect Joe Romero. He is a tremendous athlete, and he's had some incredible performances, but that's it. You know, I don't want to see this guy fight for the belt anymore. You know, he misses weight. He goes and puts on a fight like this. Like, no thanks. You know, and for Adesanya, I was really looking forward to that fight with John Jones. He's not ready at all for John Jones. You know, that's not happening anytime soon, guys. Paulo Costa's next for Israel Adesanya. And quite frankly, if he fights like this against Paulo Costa, I think Costa beats him. I think Costa has a really good chance to beat Israel Adesanya because he's aggressive, because he walks forward, because he's just relentless. Look at the way he fought Romero in the last fight. Costa moved forward the entire time. And Romero did well in that fight, too. It was a great fight. Both guys went at it. But Costa moved forward. In this case, no one moved forward. Both guys moved back the whole time. I knew we were in for something bad when that first minute happened in the fight and Romero was standing like this, just staying there, literally staying there like this, not doing a thing. And I'm like, oh no, this is going to be a bad fight, isn't it? And it was even worse than I could have imagined. It was bad, you know, just a terrible fight. And I that's all I want to talk about this fight. You know, I'm curious to hear you guys' scorecards if you want to throw them in there. But, you know, I scored a 48-47 for Adesanya the last three rounds. I listened to John McCarthy's podcast. He said that's the right scorecard, so I feel good about that. But, yeah, it's just terrible. All right, now I get to the co-main event because, honestly, this fight was incredible. And it's one of the greatest fights of all time in MMA, with men or women. That doesn't matter, you know. And I'm not one of those, like, woke people or whatever. Like, I'm not all, you know, about male and female and all that stuff. It was just a good MMA fight, you know, for me. So I would include it on the list of the greatest fights of all time. Doesn't matter about the gender. It's just a great fight. The same night, John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson, which was a fight I was at, by the way, and that was the greatest fight I've ever seen live. The same night that's inducted in the Hall of Fame and announced to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, these two women put on an incredible fight. This was such a class. It was an instant classic. It really was. It was such a good fight. And just crazy having such a fight like this. And then the main event afterwards, just such a letdown. You know, I guess we were good getting one out of two. They both could have been bad fights. You know, we're lucky we had one classic, one bad fight. But still, you know, it's just crazy seeing how much both women wanted to win that belt. They both wanted it so bad. And that with the full distance and the amount of strikes they threw and landed on each other was ridiculous. Like, what a crazy fight, you know. And all the respect in the world to both women. Adesanya Romero, their stocks went down. Weili Zhang and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, their stocks went way up after this fight. What a fight. I mean, Weili Zhang, what can you say about her? I mean, she's incredible. 21-1 now. 21 fight win streak. 5-0 in the UFC, and she just beat Joanna. Her first five-round fight, and she went a hard five rounds, and she actually turned it up late in that fight, which was incredible to watch. I thought she looked fantastic. I thought Joanna looked fantastic, too. Joanna coming off a couple – you know, she did come off a win versus Michelle, but her last few title fights were tough fights. You know, she's actually 0-4 now in her last four title fights, but – she's been pretty competitive in the last few, and this one was super competitive. It was really a tough fight to score. I scored it for Weili Zhang. I gave her the first, I think it was the first two rounds and the last round. So 48-47 for Zhang. But, you know, if someone had it for Joanna, I don't think that was that bad of a scorecard. I think it was okay because they both did a lot of damage in this fight. But to me, the difference was really the damage. And I think Zhang did a little bit more, especially that hematoma on Joanna's head. That visual damage was, you know, crazy to see. So the fact she was able to do that to Joanna Zhang was, I think that was the difference the judges gave it to her. Because in a close fight like this, I think, you know, the damage probably should get that slight edge. So that's why I gave it to Zhang. But it was a super close fight. And anyone scoring for Joanna, I don't hate that scorecard because honestly, it came down to that fifth round, in my opinion. And really, that fifth round was very, very tight. So the scorecards by the actual judges were all over the place. I think one of them actually had the same as me. I can't remember now. I have to look back at it. But overall, I think it was just an incredible fight. I know you guys agree with me. I mean, it was so amazing to watch. Like, it's one of those fights where I remember when I watched Dan Henderson versus Shogun the first time, and I'm watching that, I'm like, oh my God, we're watching one of the greatest fights of all time. That's exactly how I felt about this fight. Like, I think it was like three rounds in, and I'm like, oh my God, this is an absolute classic. Like, it's incredible how durable both women were. The fact they were able to go that full 25 minutes just beating the crap out of each other. Unbelievable. I mean, just so much heart shown by both women. You know, for Zhang, this is a big win for her. This is like the kind of superstar making performance she needed that the UFC wanted from her in the States and on a big car like this in Vegas, getting this kind of win. This is huge for Zhang in her career. She's huge in China. China's a huge country with a ton of people. The UFC has a legitimate superstar in their hands. They've been waiting for someone like Weili Zhang to emerge from that market for so long. They finally have her, and she's amazing. And Joanna, I know a lot of people were criticizing her coming to this fight, saying, you know, she cares more about her Instagram career now than her actual fighting career. I don't think you can say after this. I mean, she looked amazing. This is one of her best performances. I know she lost, but this might have been her best performance of her career too. You know, she looked amazing in this fight. Hats off to both ladies. I mean, this is a fight that will be inducted in the Hall of Fame one day. It 100% will be. It's one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of MMA fights, guys. This is one of the best ever. Easily in the top 10, probably top 5. And, you know, it's hard to say it's the best fight ever. I still think, like, Shogun and Hendo or Jones and Gus, those are my two favorite fights. But this is up there, you know. So I think top 5, top 10 is very, very fair. And if you want to categorize it, it is by far the best women's fight ever. I can't think of a better fight. I mean, there's been some good ones, like Holly Holm against Misha Tate was a great fight. Or Sarah Coffin versus Alexis Davis in Strikeforce, great fight. You know, but this was better than those. This was a full 5-round fight that went the distance, and it was incredible. So, you know, my hat's off to both women after this one. An amazing fight. And what's next? I mean, Zhang probably fights the winner, I would guess, of Rose versus Andrade, which happens at UFC 249 next month. That's the co-main event. You'd have to guess that the winner gets a title shot. And I'm pretty sure the UFC would like to see Rose Namajunas win that fight. And then they could book a fresh fight between Zhang and Rose. We've never seen that fight. It'd be a great fight. I'd love to watch that fight. It'd be a great fight. You talk about fight of the nights. I mean, Zhang versus Rose, wow, it'd be good. But even an Andrade rematch would be fun to watch. The first fight ended very quick. And from what we heard, Andrade had a really bad weight cut in China for that fight. First time, I think, fighting really that far away from home. So I think that'd be a fun fight too. But most likely, I think Zhang versus Namajunas is the fight that UFC is kind of hoping for. There could be a rematch between Willie and Joanna. I mean, it's deserving, but I think when there's other title contenders like those sitting out there, she probably doesn't get it. For Joanna, maybe the loser of Rose and Andrade, she could fight, or someone else in that division. Tatiana Suarez is hurt right now. Her neck is still injured, so she won't be in the title talks right now for a little while. When she comes back, she probably will be, but for now, I think it's going to be Rose versus Andrade, the winner of that fight, gets the next title shot against Zhang, and that would be a great fight too. So again, an amazing fight, and it's just the juxtaposition between this fight and the main event, it's night and day, right? You had one of the greatest fights, greatest title fights ever in MMA, and then one of the worst fights, one of the worst title fights ever in MMA in the same night. Pretty nuts. All right, let's go to some other fights here. Actually, you know what? I have a couple comments here. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Adrian Kapoor, morning, Adam. Hey, buddy. Well, how's it going? Always appreciate your comments. I had Izzy 3-4 and you all 1-2-5. Most people on MMA decisions giving it to you all 48-47. But we don't even care. We all lost. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's we did all lose. Like, no one enjoyed watching that. I did have it 1-2 Yoel and then 3-4-5 for Izzy. John McCarthy had that scorecard. I just listened to his podcast like half an hour ago, and that's what he had too. So I feel pretty good on my scorecard. But I could see, I guess, the fifth going to Yoel. But again, who cares, right? Like, either guy wanted to win. Kenshiro Rodojo had money on Willie Zhang and made good money 4 times. Good job, man. Yeah. A lot of people were on Joanna. I actually had Willie Zhang by decision myself. Like, most people had her by knockout. I had her by decision. So I'm actually really happy with the way I broke down the main event and co-main event on the MMA Odds Breaker. I had them both bang on. I picked them both by decision. And pretty much the way I wrote them out was kind of how the fights played out. Although I thought the Izzy fight would be a lot more exciting. But this fight was like, you know, the damage is going to be the difference. And I think it was the power shots. Kinshiro says Joanna should be proud of herself. They both came to fight 100%, and they'll book the rematch once JJ is healed. I don't know. I they could, but I think that she probably needs another win. I mean, she's 0-4 in the last 4 title fights. Like, is she going to be in Uriah Faber territory now, where she's just getting title fights and then losing? Or even Yoel Romero, he's 0-4 too, which is crazy. But he's never even won the belt. At least Joanna's won the belt. Kinshiro Rudoju, co-main event, had everything. Warrior spirit, toughness, and grit. 99% of male fighters don't got that toughest. I agree 100%. It didn't matter, male or female. They're just MMA fighters. You don't need to talk about the gender, right? Like, they're just incredible fighters, and they laid it all on the line. It was an amazing fight to watch. All right, let's get to the next fight. Because honestly, guys, like, up to this point, like, this looked like it was a shoe-in for fight of the night. But Neil Darius versus Dracar Close, holy, like, this fight was nuts. Crazy fight. But Neil Darius looked great. His first round, he had Close's back the whole time, and Close showed some incredible rear naked choke defense. I don't know how he didn't get submitted. You got a guy like Darius in your back for 5 minutes, basically, and didn't get choked out. That was incredible. Second round, Close hits Darius with some big shots, leaves his chin up. Darius smashes him with a counter and blasts him into orbit. That was a crazy knockout. So nuts. Those knockouts where the guys go flying against the fence, like, I always love those. Like, Gregor Gillespie versus Kevin Lee, you know, Terry Adam versus Edson Barboza. Guy gets knocked out and flies back against the fence. Those are always nuts. What a fight. I mean, Dariush, he won a performance bonus and well-deserved, obviously. And I should have mentioned Zhang and Joanna, obviously, won fight of the night. And, you know, they gave him $50,000 each. Come on, Dana. Come on. For a fight like that, give him $100,000 each. Come on. And by the way, Joanna, her show money was like $100,000 to win. Crazy. She's so underpaid. I really hope the UFC threw them some money under the table. They both really deserve it, especially Joanna. $100,000, that's it. Are you kidding me? Yoel Romero made $350,000 a show. What the heck? That is crazy to me. The salaries are out of whack in this sport. It doesn't even make sense sometimes. Anyways, Dariush looked great, and the knockout was awesome. So Dariush, I mean, this is a big win for him. He needed it. I mean, the lightweight division is stacked, and he needed this win. That's his fourth straight win. He's looked great lately. You know, it's a guy I pick against a lot of the time just because I don't completely trust his chin. And once again, he proves me wrong. So good for him. You know, I actually had a pretty good night of picks. Most of my picks were right. But this was one that I thought that the underdog could come through with close. And it looked like for a second he might get the knockout, but he got caught himself. So Carl Close loses, but a great fight. And another fight where I think maybe both guys' stocks go up a little bit after the fight. Next up, Neil Magny defeats Li Jingliang. Unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Kind of a boring fight. But, you know, for Magny, he needed to just get the win here after 2 years away, basically, or not 2 years away, but a year and a half away. Hasn't fought in so long, obviously, USADA issue. Good for him to get the win. I saw the stats after the fight. I think he's like third all time in wins at welterweight behind GSP and Hendricks. That's nuts, right? Or was it GSP and Maya? I can't remember who it was, but he's third all time, and he could easily pass GSP within the next year or two. Imagine Neil Magny retires as the most winning welterweight in UFC history. That is nuts. This is a guy who was on the Ultimate Fighter. No one really thought about him, much about him back in 2012 when he was on the Ultimate Fighter. And honestly, the guy's just had a good career. So good for him getting the win here. For Jingliang, disappointing. I mean, we all thought that this guy could be somewhat of a contender because of his finishing power, but he gets just dominated here with the wrestling. And opening up the main card, we had Alex Oliveira, Cowboy, defeating Max Griffin via split decision, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. A very solid performance here by both guys, but you know, I did score the fight for Oliveira slightly. I leaned towards him a little bit. I think it came down to the third round, and, you know, he did a lot of damage over, like, the first few minutes of that third round before Griffin kind of came back late to almost steal it, but I think the judges actually got that one right. All right, a couple more comments here. Adrian Kapoor, Benny should be ranked, in my opinion. That knockout on his run of finishes he's on is crazy and so underrated. Only bad loss is Barboza. I'd favor him in Hernandez rematch. Yeah. He should be ranked. Right now, he's not, I don't believe. He's been in the rankings before, but right now, he's not. Where is he? There, yeah, he's not in the rankings. But I think easily he could be in the top 15, just that, I guess, the loss to Hernandez kind of keeps him out of it right now. But, you know, quite frankly, I think a guy like Islam Makhachev, he's a really good fighter. We all know how dangerous he is. But quite frankly, like, I think Dariush's run is a little bit better, you know, in some ways, because he's actually beating guys that are, like, somewhat ranked. John Doe, great podcast. Really appreciate the comment, man. Thank you. Just getting to the prelims here, Sean O'Malley defeats Jose Quinones. Great knockout here by Sean O'Malley. He looked awesome after a long layoff, 2 years away, and comes back and gets a knockout like this. Looked fantastic. Mark Madsen with a unanimous decision win. Basically, just uses wrestling and grind to Hubbard. Rodolfo Vieira looked incredible with the submission with the arm triangle choke. He looked great. Gerald Mearshart picks up a win as an underdog, which I did predict, getting a third-round rear naked choke and drawn win. So he looked fantastic. And then just going to the early prelims, Giga Chikadze defeats Jamal Emmers by split decision, close fight, could have gone either way. And Dana Batrigal defeats Guilherme Binocco. So just overall a great card. I mean, it was an awesome card. Sucks the main event was like that, but overall just a fantastic card. All right, I think that's going to be it for today, guys. I got a lot of stuff to do today, so just going to cut it short. Really appreciate the comments as always. Really love the back and forth with you guys. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin and this podcast, and my home is MMAOddsBreaker.com. I'm also available at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net. Guys, we'll be back tomorrow for two podcasts, morning podcast, 10 a.m., and then 11 a.m., the breakdown podcast for Decker Vigan's card. And I've got one last question here for Marcus Williams. Who would you book to fight Sean O'Malley next? Great question, Marcus. I'll answer it really quickly before I get out of here. And just looking at the rankings, you know, you look at the top 15. I think, how about John Dodson? That's a great fight. Sean O'Malley versus John Dodson. That's my fight to make. Guys, I'd love to stay in, but I have way too much stuff to do today. I'll talk to you tomorrow. All right, bye, guys. See ya.